Hello, and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's weekly dedicated design show. I'm Chiara Romella. Today, a report from Salone del Mobile, the biggest furniture trade fair in the world, which wrapped up last Friday in Milan. I was there with Monocle's design editor, Nolan Giles. In this episode, we bring you our conversations with some of the biggest names in design. First up,
you know, using my intuition and using the things I like and the themes I'm kind of excited about, I try to, you know, develop my own style all the time.
Jaime Hayon on the colorful rugs he's designed for Nanni Marchina. Next.
Well, drawing is a very important part of my life, to understand the exact size of things, describing it in the air. So there are people doing air guitar and doing air drawings.
Ronan Burwelek tells me about his collaboration with Mattiazzi. Plus, Bolzano-based architect Matteo Thun turns his hand to furniture, and Nendo founder Oki Sato talks about his firm's collaboration with Floss. All that coming up right here on Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. If you want to bump into a big-name designer at Salone del Mobile, there's no need to crash exclusive parties or intimate dinners. The easiest method is simply to head to the trade fair halls on the fair's opening day, when you can find them milling among the stalls. One of the first I bumped into was Spanish designer Jaime Hayon. He was associated with riotous colours and curvy lines long before the fashion for vibrant hues and playfulness spread across the stands here. His personality is palpable in his project for Spanish brand Nanni Marchina, featuring his own folklore-inspired doodles stitched into wide carpets. I chatted to Hayon about how he developed such a recognizable aesthetic and why, in matters of design, it's so important to stay true to oneself.
So we sat in between your latest collection of extremely colorful and playful and quite drawing-like rugs for Nanni Marchina. Your drawing right now, it seems like you're unstoppable. Where does all this energy come from?
Well, I think you know it already. The energy comes from the fact of enjoying every single moment of my work. You know, I just really enjoy it. You know, when I'm drawing, I'm relaxed, I feel good. And especially the thing that I like the most from drawing is that it's just very, very, very straightforward. You don't have to think so much about it. You just go and you have intuition. I follow my lines. I sometimes put up a theme though. You know, like for example, in this case, there was a little bit of this idea of folklore, getting different elements, you know, that I thought they were interesting, like animals and masks and. But the energy from Jaime comes from the fact that I'm an international player, but I live in the countryside. I live in between orange trees. I live in like in the middle of nowhere near Valencia, you know, in the Mediterranean, in a small village, which is not too far from the city. And, you know, I go by bike and I enjoy my time, you know. I'm really productive because I also, when I come back to my studio and I come back to my space, I have this extreme silence and this lovely time, and I feel the air and I feel the everything that it's surrounding me. So it's good energy.
I think what's interesting is that out of the many designers that I'm thinking about right now, your visual style is one of the most recognizable. And is there an element of Spanishness in it? Is there an element of the national tradition and the folklore in it? Or do you think it's a personal and an individual vision of the world, or how do they two combine?
Oh, that's a really nice question. I really live in my planet, like big time. I mean, let's put it that way. I really do. And I think, you know, using my intuition and using the things I like and the themes I'm kind of excited about, I try to, you know, develop my own style all the time. Obviously, you get influences because you live in a world in which you interchange with great professionals, great companies, and so on. But I really try to do the things I really, really am excited about. And also, I try to work with people that I'm really, like, happy with. You know, at the end of the day, I think the style actually comes from the fact that you're pure to yourself. You have no problem to risk. You have no problem to dare. And sometimes you can have a Jaime, which is much more graphical and much more, you know, much more recognizable because of the trace, you know, such as in this case that we have, you know, because it's a carpet and you see the graphics on it. But, you know, you can see it when you see the sculptural forms and the simplicity of Fritz Hansen, or, you know, the things I do in Scandinavia, or the projects I introduce through other Italian companies, whatever. But there's always a sense of being true to yourself. You have your codes, you have your colors, you have your forms, and those are back, and those become a language, and the language becomes a text, and the text becomes, you know, you can read it, so you understand it.
To conclude, and I guess to wrap up and looking around us, there's a very analog and tactile feeling to making a rug that's embroidered, that's got, that you can see has got work in it, it's got hands in it, it's been made. You can't look at something that's so intricately embroidered and think that there isn't a person who's sat there and done it. Can you tell us who are the people who made this and what do these mean for you?
The most beautiful thing with a company like Nani, you know, Nani Marquina, is it's that they have a special care, you know, to work with human beings. You know, first of all, they're always helping people. Like, they're not going like to Afghanistan or to India to just like, oh, use the people. No. They're in love with the natural, with protecting people, with helping people in many different ways. Something that is extraordinary is that when you make a rug like that, at the end, you're actually, there, the process is the most beautiful. You've got people that start from zero, trying to understand your drawing, that it has been in paper, and they need to change it into threads, change it into different elements that they have to be thought how many hours they're going to put, how many people they're going to need. It's really complicated. It's months of work. The nice thing is that it's a total social project. And then we're in Milan, and those people don't even know what Milan is about. This is why I like them. I like them because it's a social thing. You're working with people that are in love of making things and collaborating because they're making little jobs in small villages. Those villages earn money. They can make schools, they can get clean water. There's a lot of things like that in Nani's project. So for me, when I think about the tactility, the idea of working very deep with my hands to have other people to work with their hands, I love it. You know, it goes beyond designing something. If it would have been an industrial thing, I wouldn't have done it. But if it's something so beautiful that you know that you're helping people, that you know that you're working with someone nice, and then you can have fun, you can bring your world into a nice carpet with a nice graphics, perfect. It's beautiful. You know, you feel good about it. You're not using children for something wrong or something like that, which I would never do, never dare. You're doing something beautiful, you know, and I like it.
Spanish designer Jaime Ayonde. You can find out more about his collaboration with Nani Marquina at nanimarquina.com. Across Salone's 24 halls, the thousands of brands on show run the gamut from the biggest heavyweights to smaller players. French design duo the Burelec brothers made the most of little company Mattiazzi's expertise in wooden chair making with a line of sculpture wood chaiselongues. I caught up with one of the creative siblings, Ronan, at the brand's stand. We discussed how cities can inspire furniture and why it's time good design headed back into the public sphere.
Mattiazzi is the smallest company we work with, so it's a very, very tiny company located near Udine in Italy, which is linked to the wood industry. So they are very, very skilled craftsmen, and every time, it's the third project we do with them, every time the goal is to reveal their ability and same time to try to do something new.
And, you know, you mentioned Mattiazzi is possibly the smallest company you work with. Does that mean that you have a certain degree of freedom that perhaps other companies may not necessarily afford to you, or do they give you carte blanche?
I have a very free life except with my wife, but when we decide to work for companies, because we knew that we will be in front of people that let us search and we'll share our passion for things, so there is probably more pressure here because they are less organized. Of course, big companies are organized, and small companies need to, and they are quite young, so they need to find their own way, but...
I like the word that you used, which is patience. Mm-hmm. They share your patience for things. Do you think we are losing a bit of the patience by trying to bring out so many new designs every year, or do you approach every project still with the same slowness and the degree of attention that it needs?
Yeah, before we were very long to develop things, so it took years and years. There is one benefit to be an old designer that I am now, because the first exhibition I did was when I was 18 and I'm 45, so it's a long time. Before, I needed to draw a lot to find the exact curve or the exact tension between things I designed, and needed to spend so many time in near the worker to understand how they curve this piece of wood or weld this tube. It's dangerous, but I'm a sort of specialist. So there's a lot of objects that I can, or research that I can visualize in my brain. So it helped to be fast. Here, for example, I think it's quite delicate and it's extremely precise, but it was done in some months. It was done in a very frenetic way, took a lot of attention in the in our very small atelier because of patients. I knew that they need some things, that they were waiting from something. We are doing so many projects in the same time that sometimes a certain company just exit of our brain. So they call in December to say, but you have promised us, Ronan, that you will find something for us. I was confused, and it was probably a collage of different previous ideas, but it appeared like that.
I'm interested in what you were saying before. You know, you used to labor over a line and just draw and draw 100 times. How does drawing feel like for you now? Is it still a release? Is it still like a spontaneous activity? Do you find yourself doodling? What do you feel like when you draw?
Well, drawing is a very important part of my life, but I draw for drawing. So it means that now I use a lot of Instagram to post this drawing and to play with it, but I draw for drawing. So it's a very close perimeter. It's not sketched for project. It's more like my grandmother when she was knitting in a way. It helped me to pass my nerve, not on my brother, but on the on the paper. And I discover through that, in a very abstract way, things that sometimes appear in project, or relation of color, or relation of shape, or connection of things. I have less need to sketch a project again, except that I sketch a lot in the air. So it means that with my hand, I'm just. It's like a dancer, or like I need at the scale of the object to trace the curve, or to understand the exact size of things, describing it in the air. So there are people doing air guitar, I'm doing air drawings.
That's fantastic. I like that you mentioned your brother, who's obviously a great absent from this conversation, given that you now go as the BBs. But I had a very interesting conversation with Jasper Morrison recently. We talked about you guys, and we were talking about how he approaches collaboration. And he was saying, you know, I don't know how the brothers do it. Do they draw half of it, then fold it over and pass it over to the other guy? So does it sometimes get a bit like that? And how do you work, and how do you find mediation? Do you sometimes need to take yourself some other place and draw a bit to let the tension out?
Well, it's Erwan and me are old couple now. So I start alone, very young, and I was lucky enough to never have to work for someone. But very quickly, of course, as a young designer, you're a poor guy without money. So Erwan, in a very normal way in the countryside, start to help me as a gentle brother, helping you. And during some times he was my assistant, and then took more and more place on the table, and then we start to share everything. I'm the older one, and I'm the most obsessive one, probably in a different way. I am hard, so I think I need a lot of subject. I need to draw, I need to do the picture, I need to do a book, everyone has this ability that I would like to have, to be extremely concentrated on one subject and do not care about the rest. So I think he's doing well like that, and that's the status of our relation now.
Ronan Burelek there, talking about the collection he's designed for Mattiazzi with his brother Erwan. Find out more at mattiazzi.eu. Still to come, architect Matteo Tun on his chair designs for the hospitality industry and the collaboration between Japanese design firm Nendo and Italian lighting manufacturer Floss.
Can you smell that popcorn? Well, while you're waiting in line, let me tell you about some of the standout guests we've spoken to recently on The Cinema Show. This year's Palme d'Or winner Ken Loach told us how going back to basics was integral to the strength of his winning film, I, Daniel Blake.
Paul wrote two characters which have quite simple, straightforward situations.
Fellow Palme d'Or winners Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne told us how reaching the heights of the film industry can have its downside.
Because after Cannes, the reactions were mixed. Some good, some less good.
And Canadian filmmaker Xavier Dolan gave me a glimpse into his creative process.
What matters in making movies is all the elements are working and walking at once in synchronicity.
So now you've heard the trailer, all you need is the main attraction. Tune in to The Cinema Show on Monocle 24 every Friday at 20:00 in London. Or download the podcast now. You'd better hurry with that popcorn though. The movie's about to start.
You can count plenty of architects among the crowd at Salone. They come for inspiration for interior projects and to design temporary spaces for brands. Some even turn their hand to furnish a design themselves. Bolzano-based architect Matteo Thun decided to start creating chairs for Italian brand Very Wood to fill a gap in a hospitality project he was working on. His latest design for the brand is a vivacious affair with brightly coloured woven seats designed for a restaurant. As someone whose work focuses on hospitality and hospitals, Thun knows how important a touch of lightheartedness can be to both these spaces.
The chair should be light, should be unisex, and should be, as all our design work, no designed. We call this zero design. Nobody should know who is the designer, nobody should know when this chair was designed. Since we do mostly hotels and hospitals, this fits perfectly for restaurants and, of course, hospital rooms.
So let's talk about your architectural background and, of course, the architect in you that comes out when you do design furniture as well. How does that change your mentality? Is there something of your architect's brain that comes into play when you design objects as well?
Architects never design furniture. They start to design only when something is missing in their architecture. And this is also the case of my work. I do not like to have another million of babies, nor in this fair, nor in previous fairs. I do not like new design, but of course, when our interior designers, when our stylists are missing something specific in our architecture, then we do it. This chair is done specifically for restaurants, for our hotels.
I'd like to talk about your architectural work. And obviously you've mentioned you do mainly hospitality and hospitals as well. I'm particularly interested in your hospital work and how you're redefining that environment for people. What goes on into your mind when you think of rethinking the hospital?
Let me start from the beginning. Hospes is a Latin word and means guest. And deriving from this wording hospes, the same word of hospital stays for hospitality. That means hotels and hospitals are exactly the same. You shouldn't be sick, you shouldn't feel sick if you enter a hospital. The same way you should feel healthy, happy, and in good mood if you enter a hotel. So, absolutely no difference between hotels and hospitals.
You're obviously from Bolzano, and I think South Tyrol is a bit of the gem of Italy in terms of devoting funds and attention to public structures, schools, stations, or police stations, hospitals. Where do you think that culture comes from?
I love my mountains, I love my hometown, but I fully disagree on what you say now. Italy has infrastructural problems since ever. We try to behave like a democracy, but we are not. So saying that, South Tyrol is slightly better than Palermo, but if you really want to give me an example of great infrastructure in terms of hospitals, then we have to go to Denmark, to Sweden, to Finland. That's where we can learn. It's definitely not South Tyrol.
Okay, interesting. So where are your projects going to be?
My projects are far, far away from South Tyrol because the reality is that South Tyrol learned over the last 50 years all the attitudes of South Italy. So even if I love Sicily, the behavior between Sicily and South Tyrol is very, very similar. So we built a lot in China, we built in Germany, we built in Switzerland, we do not build in South Tyrol.
I'd like to stay in Italy, but go to Venice instead. We've recently done a guide to Venice, and so obviously went to visit the JW Marriott in Venice. Now, I think hospitality in Venice is a very difficult topic, and I'd like to hear from you, what can architects do to help people understand that Venice is not a disposable, in and out kind of place?
Venice is maybe one of the most fascinating museums in the world. And the island where we recently built the JW Marriott Hotel is fantastic, not because of me as an architect, but because of very close collaboration with an entity called Sovrintendenza alle Belle Arti. What does it mean? In Italy, we have in every city somebody who controls the historic sites. The collaboration with the head of the historic sites of Venice was really super helpful, and thanks to them we realized and we could create a wonderful dialogue to the history of the place.
Bolzano-based architect Matteo Tunve on his chair designs for Italian brand Very Wood. One of the numerous initiatives that Japanese design firm Nendo took part in at Milan Design Week was the launch of a new product range for Italian lighting manufacturer Floss. At the Floss stand at Salone del Mobile's Euroluce, our design editor Nolan Giles managed to pull Nendo's founder Oki Sato away from a frenzied crowd of fans to ask him a few questions about the products on display and his attitude to longevity in design.
So you're being greeted like a bit of a celebrity here. No. Is that the same everywhere you go?
No, not really. I guess it's always crazy here, isn't it? Milan Design Week. Never get used to this stuff.
So the last time we caught up, you just finished designing the Siam Discovery Mall in Bangkok, and now I'm seeing you here in Milan. You're a man of many disciplines. How do you describe yourself and your work to people?
Very busy man. Yes, we work on quite a lot of projects. We're working on about 400 projects at the same time, but I'm still managing, I guess. And I try to stay simple and playful, and I want to have my designs to be talkative, like have a story behind the object instead of the object itself. And yes, every Nendo piece should have a nice story.
If you're working on 300 to 400 pieces, how do you manage to kind of stay on top creatively and keep a Nendo vibe or a Nendo aesthetic running through things?
Work hard, I guess. There's no magic to that, I guess. You really have to be focused on every single project, every single detail, and you just have to follow all of the projects.
All right, so let's talk about the projects that we're standing in front of today here at Salone. Can you take us through what we have here?
So here in the Floss, I'm presenting two new projects. One is called Gaku, the other is called Sawaru. Gaku is almost like a small room, basically. It's something between a piece of furniture and a lamp. It's like blended all together. We try to treat the lamps as objects as lamps. We have mirrors, vases, bookends, and things like that. And you can play around in this small room using the lamps and things like that. Actually, we have two magnets inside of the boxes so that you can place the objects, and the pending lamps you can change the height. The lamps that are on the floor is charged by this wireless charger, so you can bring your light with you. You can charge your phone as well. So all of this high-tech stuff is hidden inside of this plain wooden box.
And how do you manage that aesthetically? You know, like you're saying, treating something that is so high-tech, and in a way, people can almost fear digital things and technology and having too much technology in their house. But you've created something that's very approachable, not scary at all. You know, how have you achieved that through the design?
I think it's about materials first. We want to use natural materials as much as possible. Nothing too special. And the touch and feel of the finishing, that is really important as well. And in the end, it's all about detailing, I guess. It's about detail, detail, detail. We've been working on 2 years about thinking about all the edges, all the seams, things like that. And we made tons and tons of prototypes during that process. Every time we would have discussions with Mr. Piero de Gandini, he'll be there always. He's there always with a glass of champagne or something. And we would have interesting dialogue always. And it's like... it goes everywhere, you know. It's not like we have a plan and it goes accordingly, but it goes this way, that way. But in the end, it ends up with something beautiful, so I'm really satisfied.
And you said, you know, you had 2 years to work on the designs for these lights, and, you know, Uralucci is every 2 years, but that's still quite frequent, you know. When you're designing something like this, I'm guessing you're not designing for something that's only going to last 2 years. What's your philosophy with regards to, I guess, timelessness in design?
I think that it's really up to the person who uses it, I guess. I would like to have my pieces to be timeless, but that's something that unfortunately is something I cannot control, and maybe after I'm dead some of the pieces will die together with myself, or maybe one or two pieces may live a longer life, and you never know, I guess.
And just finally, you're a Japanese designer. You're here in Europe. Can you tell us a little bit about why it's important for designers, for international designers from everywhere to be here today at Saloni?
Well, Milan is the center of design. It's been the center of design, and it will be, I guess. There's a lot of factories here, a lot of craftsmanship, and there's tons of passion here, I guess, which is the most important part of design.
And do you take inspiration from that when you're here? Do you find that sort of craftsmanship and the industry inspiring, or is it a bit scary in a way because there's just so much of it?
I guess a little bit of both.
Nendo founder Oki Sato there, speaking to Monocle's design editor Nolan Giles about Nendo's collaboration with Floss. That's it for this week's show. More from Milan next week. My thanks to our editor Toby Hammond and the show's producer Henry Ree Sheridan. If you have any comments or queries, write to Henry at hrs@monocle.com. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Chiara Rimella, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.